Hey guys, it's the Great Debates. It's Long June.
Yay!
Medina, you sound like you're not here in the room, and also I don't see you.
Where are you?
Guys, I'm in Chicago.
Whoa!
Hi-yo!
Doing what?
I'm celebrating the beginning of Long June by attending a couple of baseball games. Classic sort of summer pastime.
Hang on. I just got to say, I do want to hear about this, but we are not in host chat.
You're right. We're not in host chat. We're here at the Great Debates. Whether it's deep December or long June, we get right into it with
yes.
the micro. Guys, I've got 3 minutes on the clock. I've
okay.
got a topic for you.
All right.
Yes.
Here we go. Steve Healy taking the pro.
As usual.
Topic is mac and cheese is a side, not an entree.
I'm Steve Healy, and I'm taking the pro. Mac and cheese just isn't a whole meal. It's a wonderful thing that goes with your hot dogs and your hamburgers. It's a nice little dish that mom puts down on Thanksgiving next to the turkey and the mashed, but it is not a whole meal. You're not going to be satisfied if all you have is some noodles with some cheese on there.
That's it? That's all you got to say? Only a glutton, only a horrible fat American glutton, guilty as charged, maybe, would say that mac and cheese isn't enough to be a meal. I mean, also, think of this. Sir, if you go to Jones on 3rd, let's say, which is the first place that comes to mind, you order the mac and cheese, you're going to get a 4-inch by 4-inch by 4-inch, like, brick of mac and cheese, probably 1,600 calories in there. If that's not a meal, then something's wrong with the way we're eating. You're getting dairy, you're getting starch. By the way, you're probably getting bacon or something else good in there, maybe a little parsley, who knows. That's a meal. It may not be the most fulfilling entree, but side, it is not.
First of all, be honest with me. How many times when you go to Jones on 3rd, is all you're getting just mac and cheese? And would that not be, if you and I went to Jones on 3rd, that's all I got, you would be like, you'd give me a side eye, be like, that's kind of weird. Answer first of all.
The answer is rarely
filibuster, as you often do.
Well, that's the whole point of this thing, is that we filibuster,
okay.
We debate as much as we want. You
now,
can't tell me to
let's
not
Let's pause
talk.
For a second.
No, I'm not going to pause. Yeah. Because the reason is that just because it's not the only thing you get doesn't make that a side. Because you often would also not eat. You could order an entree and that not be the only thing you get.
In fact,
an entree by definition, almost by definition, is something that you get with an accompanying piece of your meal, usually a side. So I would argue that if you got mac and cheese and, say, a salad, then mac and cheese is the entree. And it is.
The larger point here is that you are a Hollywood elitist.
You're damn
when
right I am.
When most people think of mac and cheese, we are talking about Kraft.
Oh.
Kraft macaroni and cheese, which is not... It's not enough
and
for a
meal. And who eats that? Kids. If you're coming home at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you come home from school, and you give a kid a bowl of Kraft cheese and macaroni, that's all they want. That's it. That's good enough for them. You're certainly not giving them a side. You're giving them a meal. You might say you're giving them a snack, but I would say you're giving them an entree. Or at the very least, look, I bet we could probably agree that mac and cheese, the reason this is a great debate topic, is that it straddles the line of many different things. Is it a snack? Is it an entree? Is it a side? But I definitely think it's more entree than it is side.
If I invited you to a dinner party and you came to my house for dinner.
I wish you would.
And all that we had was mac and cheese, you would talk about
it
for months.
But if all you had was any entree, I would be mad. Oh, the timer's up and it's a different timer because it's Healy's.
What is going on? Guys, I go to Chicago for a few minutes. And we can't even get the right timer.
Oh, that was a choice. I have to tell you, I thought for Long June we should have a little more playful timer. We should the cosmic timer was so much associated with me with the fired up feeling of the end of a debate that I couldn't use it as an alarm clock anymore. So I had to switch my default alarm to slow rise. And I thought I'd see how that played at the end of this micro.
I think it sucked. I hated it.
It freaked me out. Okay, Healy, I thought you had a chance there to recover from Dave's opening onslaught, And then you just dug yourself a grave, bro, by bringing up Kraft mac and cheese, which many, me and I think many of our listeners, if they recall back to their days as young people, they'll think of that as mom's out working late or
that's
whatever.
Right.
I'm going to fix myself an
that's
entree.
Great.
I'm going to fire up a box of mac and cheese, and I've got everything I need.
I felt with Dave on this one.
Thanks, buddy.
I felt myself relieved that Dave did not bring up the fact that in Canada, we have a lot of listeners in Canada, I think they call Kraft mac and cheese Kraft dinner, right? That's like a in that Bare Naked Ladies song, they call it Kraft dinner.
Okay. Well, neither of us, other than you, are experts on either the Bare Naked Ladies or Canadian cuisine, I guess.
Canadian cuisine, I'm pretty good on. Bare Naked Ladies, I think I've heard their most popular song, If I Had $1 Million, where they talk about Kraft
dinner. That's not their most popular song.
What's their most popular song?
Chicken in China, baby. 1 week. Are you out of your mind? And with that, we're in host chat. Oh, Healy.
Wait, tell us about
Had $1 Million, you nuts?
Dan, tell us about the baseball game.
So, well, first of all, I want to thank listener and producer Mark C. for providing that excellent top about the mac and cheese. You know, Mark's not only the best podcast producer in the business, he's also one of the best top submitters in the business.
A topper. We call him a topper.
He's a topper. He's a top topper.
Top-notch topper. Okay, you're in Chicago, Giants, Cubs. What's going on?
Wrigley Field. First time I've ever been to Wrigley Field in my entire life.
Love it.
We get there early. We sit down. By the way, I'm there. I'm in Chicago with composer Chris Knight.
Oh, he composed our theme.
Composer Chris Knight. You've heard his name in the credits at the end of every episode of The Great Debates.
Mm-hmm.
Medina and Knight at Wrigley Field. We sit down in our seats. The Giants or the Cubs take the field. Giants second baseman Joe Panic steps to the plate. Pitch number 3 rips a home run.
Oh, it's great. And you're a Giants fan, to be clear.
And I'm a Giants fan. So my first at bat I saw at Wrigley Field, my team hit a home run.
That's great. Dave, have you been to any baseball games yet this season?
This season, no, I haven't. I made my first visit to Wrigley Field last year, 2 years ago, though. It is a special place.
It's a special place. I had a special meal there, which involved mac and cheese. I had something called the beef and cheddar sausage.
Mm.
And it was a sausage that was smothered in bacon, barbecue sauce, onions, and mac and cheese.
There you go, baby.
On the dog.
The dog was the entree and the mac and cheese was the side.
Too late to try to win the debate, but interesting.
On the subject of old baseball stadiums, I got to mention, a couple weeks ago, I had a great pleasure. I was at Koshien Stadium in Osaka.
Oh, I love it.
The oldest in Japan, and I saw the Hanshin Tigers play the Kunichi Dragons.
Yes.
They've got a girls running up and down the aisles with kegs on their backs.
Oh,
yeah. And they will spray a little cup of beer for you, and they're never more than a wave away.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to say that there is an addition to make to American baseball, but
of course we could learn a lot
from
the Hanshin
Tigers. I think this could be something.
That's great, man.
Anyway,
who won?
Oh, the Hanshin Tigers were bested. They're not having a great run. Their motto right now is Tigers Change.
Oh, that doesn't sound good.
Yeah.
Tigers Change.
Yeah, but the fan base is supportive and strong.
Fans, for the 2017 year, our motto will be Patient Tiger.
Patient
Tiger, please wait for...
It will be Gentle Submission. Hey,
trust the process.
We put the shout out for Long June topics.
Well, people got it. Hold on. We got to press pause for a second. Yeah. Explain to people what Long June is.
Oh, so.
Right. We may have picked up some new listeners in between,
yes.
Long June 2016 and Long June 2017.
Yes.
So I can set the scene here if you want.
Please,
Let's take it back to a debate that we were having at the onset of summer 2016. The topic was June is better than July.
Right.
Steve Healy taking the pro. It was the debate was kind of it was hard to tell who was winning. Healy was struggling to find a way to express why June was better, and then he hit upon it, an idea that really struck a chord with all of us.
It transcended the debate, really.
Really. And it ended the debate.
It did. It did. And that
he came up with this idea of Long June. It wasn't even really that he came up with the idea. It was almost that he just talked about it as though it had always existed.
I would say he discovered it. Because he was like Balboa discovering the Pacific.
Yeah.
He found it, right. Yes.
Yeah, the idea is just that Long June begins Friday of Memorial Day weekend.
God, it's great.
And it ends midnight July 4th.
Boy, I think that's a little premature. I got to say that Long June is... I wouldn't let it be so carefully defined.
True, true. Good point, actually.
Whenever you feel the spirit of Long June coming on, that's the beginning of Long
June.
Yeah,
that's a good point.
It's basically Memorial Day weekend to July 4th weekend. Whenever
you know when Long June
is. You know what Long June is.
And you know when you're in it.
You get it.
And you...
I feel like it might not be Long June yet for you guys, but I think it might...
Oh, if you're at Wrigley Field in late May, it's Long June.
I mean, I don't want to say what you sound like, but it sounds like you're deep in Long June.
Yeah. So
anyway, we put out the call for Long June tops, and our listeners completely came through. They gave us a ton. Medina, would you like to lead us in some top about ems?
Yeah. Can we do some top about ems, guys?
Yeah. Yeah.
We've got some here that I think are worth, pointing out.
Topping about.
Topping about. We're not going to debate them, but we will top about them.
We're just going to top about them.
Yeah.
First of all, Katrina tweets at us, snow cones are better than ice cream cones.
That's crazy, very wrong.
Yeah, no, that's wrong.
But I like...
Well, but what she's getting at, right, is that, like, there is something... to the snow cone, to the refreshing, the bracing ice.
The snow cone's underappreciated.
Flavor.
How about that?
And
I would.
And she's illustrating that it's possible that you could make a play for that top.
I would say that the only case we made there is an extreme literalist case, which is that a snow cone is better than the ice cream cone itself, meaning an ice cream cone defined as just the cone in which the ice cream
goes.
Because what else do you call that? You can't just call it a cone.
You're like, you would be a great like public defender where the guy's like, look, I did it, whatever. And you're like, you're just trying to find
I'll find it.
Is it true that Bill Cosby's defense team has contacted you?
They have, and I shouldn't talk about it much. Okay. And, look. I'll say this. I know how they could win. No, this is awful. I don't at all.
Let's keep going with the top about them.
I'm going to go ahead and keep going with the top.
Yeah.
Leon P.
Is it Leanne? It might be Leanne. I don't know.
Leanne, you're right. Leanne P.
Mm-hmm.
She tweets, a day at the pool is better than a day at the beach.
Great top. Very stimulating. I feel like we've hit the beach pretty hard.
We've talked about
debating wise, not going to it.
I'm with Leanne. I think the pool is far superior to the beach. I'm not a big sand guy. I'm not a big waves guy. Now, if it's a lake or a pond versus the pool, that's a real tough one for me. I love
pond
a lake.
And lake is number one.
Love a lake.
What about a hole? Beach. A swimming hole.
Well, how big is the hole?
A swimming hole.
Okay,
that's weird.
Yeah.
Swimming hole size.
Depends on the pool, you know. Some pools are tough.
Right.
You go to the pool, it's like your friend's house. Maybe it's weird. Your mom is weird. She's bringing you weird sandwiches. It's just an uncomfortable vibe.
Sounds like there's some backstory here.
I don't know. I'm just...
I think your average beach day probably stacks up a little higher than your average pool day. But I think a great pool day... the way it can transition into a pool night.
Mm.
Some other
kind
of like...
Keep talking. Keep talking.
Night,
hang on one sec.
Really is how it can maybe excel.
Don't forget about it's very rare, but a beach night is something else.
Forget about it. Good night, nurse.
Bonfire beach night.
Yeah, that's just guaranteed magic at that point.
Keep the tops coming.
Yeah, next top.
Okay, so Will H., allergy season. which is in parentheses near the beginning of Long June, is the worst time of the year.
Boy, I
Dave,
don't know.
Talk to me. Allergies have never been a problem for me. I can imagine if they're hitting you hard, it's awful.
Yeah, you know, allergies were not a big deal to me until I moved to LA, and I do get whatever it is, that garbage. I also might be a little allergic to donut. I don't know. If I am, I don't care. There's no turning back.
Mm.
I think for people who get bothered by allergies, there's nothing worse. I mean, like, I could imagine maybe migraines or something, but there's no real season to migraines. In terms of just like that, like constant, just lowering your quality of life, for people it's really serious for, it's got to be awful, but I don't know.
But haven't we, isn't the Claritin and all that just cured it all up?
I mean, I don't know. We need to, we're it's like the first time ever we've decided that our lack of knowledge on a topic has preventing us from having a take.
Any more tops, Medines, before we get into the debate?
Well, I'll give you a couple honorable mentions here. A round of golf should be 14 holes. That's tie F.
Mm. Boy, that's not bad. It is a long day out there.
A long round in Long
Yeah.
June. Christian tweets the best yard game is beanbag toss.
Yeah, that's a no-brainer, right? What's croquet gonna be? Cornhole?
I mean, I assume she's referring to cornhole.
Oh, horseshoes.
Yeah, I think probably cornhole.
Horseshoes.
I'm going with croquet, maybe.
I think maybe, can you count bocce as a lawn game, or is that...
bocce is great. Bocce.
I find croquet.
Horseshoes?
Yeah, horseshoes like when I was good. A kid, yeah.
Croquet is like quite horseshoes. Tedious.
Croquet?
Yeah.
Yeah, but bocce's not that tedious.
Croquet is like, it's like golf. It's like a long day out there on the course.
I guess I've never played a full game of croquet. For me.
I don't think so either.
You have.
Croquet is actually the best game to think about, or it's the highest ratio of like the difference in thinking about it versus actually playing it.
Hmm. Interesting.
Okay, so I got one more here that was submitted that I think we're going to just use as our top.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
Our main event, our great debate.
Are we ready to get into it?
Yeah,
baby.
Okay, here we go. This top is from Rachel S.
Oh, great.
Rachel, thank you for tweeting this wonderful top at us. Steve Healy taking the pro.
Okay.
The topic is hot tubs. Aren't gross.
Sorry, could you repeat that? Aren't gross?
Hot tubs are not gross.
Okay, great.
I'm Steve Healy. I'm taking the pro. Hot tubs are a tiny bit seedy.
Ew.
They're a little bit illicit. They're on the edge of being gross, but they're not gross. It's hot water. It's running through a filter. It's got some jets going steadily. People are coming in and out. Yeah, like any kind of body of water, it can get some stuff in it. But this is not stagnant water. This is agitated, aerated, moving, cleaned water. Hot tubs are a time for chilling out, relaxing, having some laughs. People are having some fun in there. How many people can we fit in here? Here comes Sandra. She's coming in. Yeah. Ooh, this is good. It's so hot. That is a hot tub. It's not gross. It's a good old-fashioned fun time.
Hot tubs are so gross that just the subject matter of hot tubs has turned you into a gross person in your opening statement. I've never seen, I mean, I wish the listeners could be here in the studio. Healy's like swaying side to side. He's like trying to be sexy.
Okay,
it's coming off as unctuous. It's
all
weird.
All ad hominem attacks has nothing to do with the debate.
No, I totally disagree, because we're not just talking about the like the grossness of the water when we talk about hot tubs. Like, you're onto something when you say that hot tubs are seedy and there's something like obviously sensual, and you know, let's not shy away from it. Like, you know, there's an implication of sexiness or sexy times, which is a gross phrase, and I'm sorry about that, that happen in a hot tub. And that is gross because, to be blunt, like, water is not meant to be part of the sexual experience. And I think that that is what we're constantly going to be dancing around. Unless you're drinking it.
What? Okay, let's back up for a second.
Sure.
Should we just adjust the debate to water should not be part of the sexual experience?
Yeah, I'm fine with that. I mean,
because, okay, we're going into Long June. We're talking about ponds, beaches, swimming pools.
Yeah, that's fine.
They're all...
Let's go. Yeah, water okay. should... You're taking...
We're doing a debate pivot.
Yeah. Okay.
Healy, you take the pro. You have to say water. Yeah, no, I'll take the pro. Yeah, water okay. should not be.
So we're taking a pivot. Healy's yeah. taking the pro.
Yeah.
Well, I think I should take the pro.
Dave takes the pro. Yeah.
Water.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Water should not.
Yeah. Is taking the pro. And the topic, the new topic is. Thank you, Rachel S., for that interesting topic. The new topic is. Water should not be part of the sexual experience.
Right. Okay. So if you're under the age of 18, you have to stop listening to this podcast now. That includes my niece and nephew or anyone else. I'm serious. Okay. Water should not be part of the sexual experience. Why? It's not a lubricant. People think it is, but it's not. It actually just makes things more difficult. Sex in a pool or a hot tub, it always sounds like a good idea, but it doesn't work that way. It's not helpful. Should you ingest water, like before, during, or after? Yeah, that's fine. You need to keep yourself hydrated, but there's no reason for water to get in the mix. It's not going to help you. It is more problematic than it is beneficial to the sexual experience.
Okay, I'm Steve Healy. I'm taking one of the easiest cons I think I've ever had in my life. We were just talking about ponds, beaches, whatever. It's certainly the preamble to the sexual experience.
Ha, the preamble, absolutely.
Dave, please don't interrupt me.
Okay, you're right.
I think that can be, I think the dancing up to the sexual act is part of the sexual experience, and that certainly can and should include water. But furthermore, the shower, a bath, those can be very sexual experiences. Not all sexual experiences are between two people, a woman or a man enjoying himself, herself in the shower or bath. That is a sexual experience, I think. But I think I'm
telling
totally,
statement from Healy.
This is all just like around the main issue, which is who the hell is Dave King to tell anybody what should or should not be part of the sexual experience? And furthermore, he picks water as the thing to take out. Like, if water is what you're into and that's part of your sexual experience, you're enjoying that in a healthy way with your partner. Go nuts. Look, have water. Don't put a glass of water in your head.
Healy, I'm not here to kink shame anyone. I'm not here to make anyone feel bad if they're for some reason
you're here
into
to make
water
sexual rules.
As part of this. I'm not making rules. I'm just saying if I have to take a side, I'd gladly take should not, because it ends up being, as I said, it makes it more difficult. It makes it more, it's harder to, I mean, sure, if you're talking about solo acts, as you said, then yes, in some cases, I could see why you might want water involved. That's you, man. That's your bag. Go ahead. Healy's clearly letting us know that he loves to jerk off in the shower.
Honestly, that's
fine.
Not it at
and
all.
That's fine.
I'm trying to reach out to, as I understand it, women in the bathtub can be a very sexual place for them. I think that should be allowed and permitted.
Of course,
in Dave's world, that should not
be. Of course, it should
be. I think two lovers taking a shower together or a bath together, frankly, can be great. Go nuts with that. Get in the pool together. Get in the hot tub together. Get under a waterfall in Hawaii together.
What? Yes, but don't have sex there.
Why not?
Because, look, again, you can if you want to. I'm not going to come down
okay,
on you. Everybody's
so you're not
got
saying
their
you
back.
Shouldn't. It shouldn't.
Healy, I'm boxed into a corner here, man. The language is more confining than I originally
yes?
intended it to
okay.
be. But, yes, I would still say that if I had to choose between it should or it should not be part of the sexual experience, mm-hmm. I mean, I guess I would say, like, to take your side. We should have rephrased this, because it would have been more interesting to argue that are you saying that water should be part of the sexual experience? Let's put it that way.
I
have to choose a side, I'd rather be on the side of water should not be part of the sexual experience. That's
also, like,
that, I guess, is as close as I come to being to making a genuine case here. I mean, I really am trying. I actually believe that this is rooted in some level of fact and, like, experiential knowledge.
I think that my case is as well. And I think the sexual act can be something that makes you quite thirsty. Have a drink of water mid-act.
Of course you could drink water, but that is that really part of the sexual experience if you're drinking water? I mean, that's like saying that, like, you know, rugs should be part of the sexual experience because your bed is on a rug while you're making love. I mean, that's absurd. Obviously, like, drinking the water isn't actually part of the sexual experience. Ceilings and walls should be part of the sexual experience. You can have sex in
your
room.
In your paradise.
If you look around and you see a ceiling, what's wrong with that?
What should be part of the sexual experience in your morality?
I think look, again, I don't want to come down on anything that anybody's into. I'm not here to kink shame. I'm not here to, you know, fetish shame. But so I would say that you could use anything you want that isn't hurting someone in a non-consensual way. But I wouldn't use water. If you're asking me what should I use in my sexual experience, I would stay away from water. That's for sure.
All right, I'm going to make my...
go ahead. Let's wrap this up.
I'm going to make my closing statement, which is baths, showers, waterfalls, pools, the ocean, hot water, cold water. If you want to have that as part of your sexual experience, you should. That's fine. If you don't want to, that's okay too. But sure, water... My case is that... Water shouldn't not be part of the sexual experience.
Right. And my argument is that it should not be part of the sexual experience because it's bad for sex. And if you want to say that, like, it makes things sexy and that, like, you know, women or men coming out of the ocean or coming out of a pool, that's sexy, I understand that. But I am using a narrow definition of the sexual experience. I admit that. And I would also, as a final point, just like to mention that since you mentioned specifically hot water, the proteins in our body tend to coagulate when they are under hot water. And for that reason, another added reason why the aftermath of sex is best when it avoids hot water and all waters. And I'm done and I want to go home.
Wow.
Medina, what happened?
Okay, so when we were back in the hot tub debate, I did feel like I was leaning king there.
Yeah.
And then when we pivoted to the water debate, here's where it's like Healy kind of had the softball there. There's a fish in a barrel thing happening. I do think, King, you made a good argument. I think there's probably a lot of people out there right now nodding their heads with you about it can kind of make things a little difficult. That being said, when Healy illustrated the set the scene with the waterfalls and the tubs and the blood, I think I might have to stick with him on this one.
That's fine. I mean,
fairly assessed. I thought Dave was completely in a corner.
I was out over my skis. I don't know why I got so adamant about it. Oh, man.
And then you cooled off.
Yeah.
So, guys, first step back for Long June.
You know,
it's really been great to be a part of it, even though I'm far away.
We got a little rust to scrape off, I'll admit it.
We're scraping off the ship. Hey, listeners have been so helpful. Keep coming at us with what you're doing with Long June, tops about Long June.
Yeah, we love that. Tell us how you celebrate.
What you'd like to see this year during Long June.
Goals
for Long June. How are you kicking off Long June? When do you know it's officially Long June, or when do you know Long June is officially over?
Sure signs of Long June.
You could tweet at us at GreatDebate69. That's probably the best way to find us. You know who we are.
Okay, guys. Well, I really enjoyed this episode. I'm all set up to enjoy another Long June. I'm looking forward to enjoying it with you guys.
I love you, buddy.
Love you guys very much.
We miss you.
And I can't wait to see you soon.
All right.
Back in the studios.
Bye-bye.
The Great Debates is produced by Mark Carosello. Our audio engineer is Ethan Edinburgh. The theme song was composed by Christopher Knight. The debaters are Steve Healy and Dave King, and the program is moderated by Dan Levine.